This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Nothing much. It is a wonderful day today, John.
Yeah, same here. I went outside for a couple minutes just a few minutes ago before the show started, and you know what? I kind of wanted to stay out there.
It's absolutely perfect today. I mean, it's actually scary how perfect the weather is today. You know, the fall's here, so I'm in a much better mood when I'm doing a show. I think a lot of you would know, if you watch the shows, you know that it is absolutely miserable for me to continue doing this during the summer because of the heat, and it's just exhausting.
Which is why Andrew never has t-shirts that have sleeves.
No, I've removed every one of my sleeves, and look what I could do. Look at that. I'm just going to do a podcast where I just shake my chest muscles constantly. It's going to be called Flexing with Pecs. This week in Flex.
Yeah.
So we have so much to talk about. You know, today's the iPhone launch day. The iPhone 6S shipped. Woo-hoo! Everybody's getting theirs. Were you going to stand in line?
No.
Okay. If you live
I'm
in
not
New York,
stupid enough to do that.
If you live in New York, Philly, and in the New York metro area, you may have to wait another day because the Pope is in town and FedEx has issued a delay for packages. So, I don't know. I know a couple of people received theirs.
The Pope is invading Tech News Weekly.
Yes, the Pope has now invaded our broadcast as well. I know a couple of people that received theirs already, and I know a couple of people that had theirs delayed. So, let's see what happens.
That would annoy me.
Yeah.
I would not like that at all. I'm like, no.
I don't know. Listen, what are you going to do? You could wait another 12 hours. And call it a day. I want to talk about all this, but before I do that, I want to talk about a great sponsor of ours, and that's Braintree. What is Braintree, you say? Well, it's a mobile. It works on your mobile app, and it's a phenomenal payment solution. We've spoken about it on this show. We've spoken about it on What the Tech and a number of other GFQ shows. It's a simple way to integrate payments via your app. If you're a developer, if you know a developer, I know a lot of our audience, they're developers, and a lot of them have put this in. A lot of them have integrated this service in their apps because it is very easy, because it's only a couple lines of code, and a bunch of reliable companies like Uber, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, they all use Braintree in their payment solution. You could accept payments from PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, all different services, all different credit cards. And the reason why this is important for you as a vendor and for the developer is, A, very easy to integrate. Two, they have a great service. They're offering a great deal for our audience right now. Your first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free if you go to braintreepayments.com/TNW. And they have superior fraud protection. They have great customer service and fast payouts. So with their fraud protection, they issue a token. John, you know a little bit about this, right? How it works with payments. So rather than your information going and being stored to the vendor and being stored on a server, you know, you're issued a token for every transaction. So the issue of, you know, like Target got hacked, you know, and all this database got compromised. A lot of those issues don't happen when you have a token that represents your transaction. It's just a great service, great people, and talk to your developer. And if you are a developer, take a look at this. Braintreepayments.com/TNW. Your first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free by going to Braintreepayments.com/TNW. I want to thank Braintree for supporting the show and, of course, for supporting the GFQ Network and everything else that we do. I'm a big fan of their service. One of my friends, he's a developer. I just met up with him at Press yesterday, John. He actually works there, and he's developing an app. And he's like, "Listen, I heard about your, I heard about Braintree, and I took a look. The thing is unbelievable. So I want to thank him for using it. And he used our code, so that always helps." John, let's talk about some of the things happening in tech this week. Like we mentioned, the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus launch happened.
The embargo on the reviews was lifted, I believe, a day or two ago. And so we just saw all these flood of reviews from tech websites such as Engadget, The Verge, and others. And the initial reviews for the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus have been largely positive.
Yeah, very positive. What is... Is it that much different than this? I mean, the 6 had positive reviews, so how much different is the 6S and the 6?
You know, part of that depends on your opinion. Because I've read a couple of people say, you know, well, this is why I'm not upgrading. I mean, there's not enough. The 3D Touch, I really don't care about 3D Touch. Camera stuff, well, there's not really that much of a difference for me between the 6 and the 6S. So, well, I'm not going to upgrade for those reasons. But I don't know if that's necessarily true for most people, especially if you have an older phone besides the iPhone 6. If you have something older than the 6, I think this is definitely a worthy upgrade.
Absolutely. Listen, if you have a 5S and you're looking to update now, go right ahead. Get the 6S.
If you have a 6. There's significant improvements in this device, which I don't think we've seen from each and every S generation.
Like what? What can you give us?
Well, for example, the initial speed test that we've seen from the 6S has been quite a big improvement. Even over the 6 that we see now, there's a speed improvement, which is saying a lot. The fact that we actually see a noticeable difference between both generations, which you're not always seeing between generations.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, normally what you always see is just small upgrades, you know, it's slightly faster,
yeah,
slightly better.
I think there's a combination of things here, you know, between the 3D Touch, which I think is a stupid name. I can't stand anything being called 3D whatever. I think it's such a horrible marketing name for anything, call it 3D whatever.
Yeah.
Just call it Force Touch. It's just an added navigational tool is really all it is. I think the camera is a significant upgrade, especially if you're going with the 6S Plus, because it actually has the optical image stabilization. And unlike the 6, the 6S Plus also has image stabilization for your video. And there's been a couple of tests showing that there's significant improvement for your video when you have image stabilization. So even if you have the 6 now and you want image stabilization for your video, this is something that you might want to consider upgrading to, simply for that reason.
Yeah. Now, if you have an iPhone, like if you have an iPhone 6, for example, should I wait for the next one or should I go and buy this?
I've been thinking about that because there's a lot of new plans out there now. We saw Apple come out and surprise us with their own leasing program. So if you pay, you know, $40 a month or whatever it is for whatever model that you're getting, it's between like $32 and $42 or something like that per model, you can actually upgrade your iPhone every single year. As long as you've made, you know, half of the payments, 12 months of payments on this device, you're eligible to upgrade that device every single year.
So, okay, so here's, I'm going to bring something up here. Yeah, I'm going to bring something up here. If I have an iPhone 6, right, and I have just, you know, let's say I have whatever phone. Let's say I have a plan through Verizon, my iPhone through Verizon. And I am paying Verizon, what, $30 a month for that phone because they're not doing the, you know, the $199 packages anymore, right?
Yeah, which they just started back in August.
Okay. Yeah, so, no, which plan are you talking about, John?
They just changed their plan so that you can pay monthly installments back in August.
No. Well, in April, I got my phone, my Samsung, and the way that it works is that it's in monthly installments every month, zero upfront, and then it's monthly upfronts. So, but I still have to pay that for 2 years. But after the 2 years, the phone belongs to me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I opt in for the yearly upgrade, that phone never belongs to me. So are you better off waiting 2 years? So are you like are you better off just waiting for the 2 years and just keeping the phone once the 2 years are paid off and then getting
the
phone?
As far as I understand it, both Verizon's program and the Apple upgrade program, once you pay off the device, it's technically yours. You don't have to turn it in as long as it's paid off. But if you haven't paid it off, then you yes, you have to turn it in.
Yeah, but and you can't pay more. According to from what I read,
you can't pay more.
Yeah, you can't opt. I may have misunderstood, but I didn't. I don't believe that you could pay them like $400 in one shot to take it off of the price of the phone
for the Apple upgrade program.
Yeah,
that may be true.
Yeah, for that.
I read some reading into the Verizon upgrade program, and from what I read for Verizon, you can make a larger down payment to make lower monthly payments.
Okay, interesting.
So if you give, you know, an extra $100 of down payment, that'll actually lower your monthly payment.
Interesting. I don't know if it's the right way to do it. I want a new phone every year too, but I also would like to own the phone at the end of my payment. You know, I want to have a backup phone. So,
but I think it's fair though, because if you haven't actually paid the full amount for the device, well, then you don't own it yet.
Yeah, but what I do see
happening,
what
I'm saying, like if you've only paid 12 payments, if you've only paid $400 or $500 of a $900 device, you don't technically own that yet.
No. I understand that. I just personally don't know if I would want to upgrade every year.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, nobody says that you have to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You can take the full 24 months and pay it off. Nobody says that you have to upgrade. It's just. It gives you the option of trading in your phone that you're technically leasing and getting the new generation.
I'm curious with the Apple one. So, like, let's say it's like a year and a half in and I have, you know, like another $150 or $200 left. Can I just go and pay the $200, keep the phone, and then get the new phone?
It's possible.
I'm curious about that. I haven't read.
I'm pretty sure on Verizon it's possible. It's the way I've understood these programs is, once you've paid in full for the device, regardless of what plan you're on, however you're paying, as long as you've paid for the entire amount of the device, it's now yours.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting.
So like the Apple upgrade program, I think one of the scenarios was you bought a device, you've made 6 payments, and you want to upgrade to the new phone that just came out. You could technically pay another 6 payments up front to pay the 12 monthly payments before you can do your upgrade. So you could do it that way.
Okay. I mean, I think this is going to be the feature of all these plans now, right? You're just going to be able to upgrade every month.
Yeah, I don't think it's a horrible plan.
Yeah, like I'm thinking, do the carriers lose out?
We're seeing a lot of other companies do this now. Apple surprised us with that plan, which was really interesting that they decided to do that. And now we've seen Verizon scramble, and at the last minute, in the last, you know, 2 or 3 days, they said, yeah, we'll offer up iPhone yearly upgrades too.
So is it only for the iPhone, the upgrades, or is it for everything?
It's only for the iPhone.
Interesting.
They don't have this in place yet for Android. I'm assuming in the future they probably will do this for Android, but as of now, it is strictly only for the iPhone.
Interesting. Okay.
But I think that's just something with the iPhone culture. A lot of people that have an iPhone that are very much an enthusiast do tend to do this, do tend to do yearly upgrades. I know there's a significant portion of people that don't, but there's also a significant portion of customers that do have a yearly upgrade that
and
will pay the phone and get the new device every single year.
And I guess for me, it would be, it doesn't matter. You're still paying the $30 a month anyway.
Yeah.
And you're still going to, you're always going to be locked in, right? Like, let's say I guess the other side of the argument is that, right? Like, let's say I have this phone. I have this Samsung. I'm paying, I think, like $30 a month or $28 a month for the phone, because that's the plan. Yeah. That's how it works.
Right.
If Samsung has a new one that comes out, and I could just go and just hand this in and they give me the new one, why does it matter? Because I'm always going to pay that $30.
Right.
Unless I go and I buy a phone up front, you know, or I you know, I keep it for 2 years and then I don't use it. So at the end, you're always paying. You're always going to pay that fee.
Right.
So I guess you're right. It doesn't matter. It's actually a great program where you could just take your crummy old year phone And we know what happens to these phones also, and which that's something I want to touch on a little bit while we're on this topic.
Here we go. Here comes the Android rant.
Yeah. Let me touch on this while we're at this, okay? And I know I'm going to get the emails like, hey, Andrew, go buy a Windows phone. Go buy a Windows phone. Go buy an iPhone. You look like an iPhone user anyway. All right. Every phone that I've had, which is Android, after about 6 to 8 months, you know what happens to this phone, John? Everything starts to go to crap. Gets very sluggish. Gets very slow. I got to wipe everything off. I have to clear out the Delvik cache.
You don't even get the OS updates.
Well, you know what? It's actually been really good on this phone. I think that's gotten a lot better. I just got an update today, but I've been really happy with the updates that Samsung has been doing with this. So I can't complain about that. They've been very good with the updates. But regardless, here's a weird glitch that I'm having. I can't use Google Hangouts on my phone, which is my text messaging app. Do you know
that's
why, John?
Yep, anyway.
Well, it actually is really crappy on the phone. But if I'm typing, if I'm sending you a message, SMS or Hangouts via my phone, it gets so sluggish where it actually freezes for about a second, and then all the letters come back.
Have you tried uninstalling and reinstalling?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I wiped the phone off. I wiped everything off and then reinstalled everything, and it's still doing it. So, and I'm also having other issues.
Conspiracy.
Like it's overheating.
They make you buy a new phone.
I think that's what it is. Now, it's also overheating, which is another bizarre issue.
They have a little thing that they say, oh, you've had this phone for this long, so we're going to send this signal so that it slows everything down and you're forced to buy a new phone.
Oh, thank you. You agree with me on that?
Yes.
Yeah, see? I think that's a real
thing. Absolutely.
I think that's a real thing. I think they're slowing it down on purpose so you could go and buy a new phone. But if I could right now go into, you know, Verizon and be like, listen, I've had this for a year. I don't like it. Give me a new phone. That's excellent.
Chris B. and Chairman actually makes an interesting point about the upgrade programs. And when it comes to Android,
by the way, you got a little
how
low,
would you
John.
Do it when there's multiple manufacturers, Samsung, HTC, LG. Is that something that you're locked into just one particular manufacturer that you can only upgrade Samsung phones?
Well, right now, Samsung is reportedly planning on copying Apple's iPhone upgrade program, right? That's the big story here. So, yeah, for them, it's going to be similar. They're going to launch a finance plan for the Galaxy phones, very similar to how the leasing plan for the iPhone works. And it should be coming out within the next several months. This is a great way for them to compete. I think right now we're going to see Samsung do it. We're going to see Apple do it, and then maybe we'll get Verizon that does it on everything.
You know what's fascinating is that it's the manufacturers doing this.
That is very interesting.
The carriers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The carriers did not see this coming whatsoever.
I guess the carriers do benefit from this.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you they still get paid, and if they constantly have
unless you're going through Apple, then I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Well, the thing about the carrier is that it's customer retention, right? So if you're constantly going to Verizon and getting
the
phone
on the Apple one, you can pick whatever carrier you want every single year. So if you want to upgrade in the next year from Verizon, if you have Verizon now, next year when you trade in your phone for the next iPhone, you can say, I want one on AT&T.
I don't know if you could do that. Because remember, the Verizon plan is still a two-year contract. It's still a two-year contract with the
now
carrier.
Now you go through the Apple program.
I could have swore I saw that it still said it was a 24-month program, even though you're eligible for an upgrade.
You're paying Apple. You're not paying the carrier. You're paying Apple for the device.
Okay, but how about for the service? Who you're paying the carrier.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're locked in.
I don't know if you're necessarily locked in. Because you can change those plans and make changes to those plans without having to, you know, have expensive fees like you used to.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted more data, well, then we're going to have to annul your agreement and charge you more for all this stuff.
No. I mean, if you stay with a carrier, you could do it. According to Curtis B., you're correct. You could pick up and leave to any carrier you want.
which is a benefit if that's something that you like to switch between
carriers.
Yeah,
that is interesting. That's really interesting. Huh. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see how many people actually opt in for these programs and see
and
what
any
they do.
Any iPhone that you get from Apple comes unlocked.
So you could bring it anywhere?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my question. Can you take the iPhone 6S, the 6, to another carrier?
6 is not a part of this program.
The 6S is, so it's starting with the 6S.
This is only for the 6S and going forward.
Interesting, okay. Very, very interesting. John, I know this is great news for you. I know you're a big Amazon Fire fan. So am I, the Fire TV. We both love the Fire TV. And guess what? There's a new Fire TV out, $99. It gives you 4K support, Alexa support. This is a very good deal. What do you think of this?
It's always a good deal for these $99 boxes that, you know, are a good value. The Roku, maybe not the Apple TV, but the Fire TV and the Roku, yeah, for $99, they're a good buy.
Yeah, $99, not bad at all. The new Fire TV supports 4K, and it's still going to cost you $99 in addition to handling all those extra pixels. A voice remote now calls up Alexa, the Eco Assist, with access to more than just movies and TV titles.
Which is what you have, that voice assistant, a voice assistant in the Amazon Echo.
Yeah. You could ask it about the weather, sports, traffic, and have it play your music from your Amazon playlist and Prime. All the information is displayed on your TV. The company also announced a $49.99, a $50 version of the Fire TV Stick with a voice remote. Finally, because
yeah,
it didn't
before
have
they
it.
Sold you just a stick for like yeah. I think $39.
And there's also
$10 more, you get a voice remote with it.
There's also a new game controller that also has voice support and a headphone jack. The new box also supports 802.11ac for better long range performance and has 75% more processing power, and the GPU is twice as fast. So this is the Amazon Fire box was really fast to begin with, so it's now even faster.
Yeah, which they kind of had to do for the 4K stuff.
I think they had to.
There's no, I don't think they could have done that without a speed increase.
So they've undercut Apple by $50 to $100, which is
I think Apple is in. More of Apple's always been kind of a premium brand,
yeah.
You know where
Apple the future of that device is going to really rely on its ecosystem and what kind of applications they're going to allow, who they're going to allow, what kind of quality games they're going to have. Mm-hmm. If they have really quality, I'm talking quality games. I'm not talking console. I'm not talking like Xbox, you know, one quality. But if we're talking about fun, entertaining games, they could really cash in on that market too. It really depends on what apps are being open and how they're going to utilize this. So I'm very interested to see what they do with the ecosystem on the Amazon, on the Apple side. The other thing I'm very curious to see is what Amazon does with their ecosystem. Because remember, one of my biggest complaints, John, with the Amazon Fire TV is that you cannot search for apps.
Yeah, I think they almost in a way need to focus a little bit more on apps.
You could search via voice, so you could say, you know, GFQ network.
And Sally, one of the stats that they gave in their press release was talking about how they've got like 4,000 apps now. But if you actually look at the trend, the last 1,500 or so apps that they've added to the App Store in the last 3 or 4 weeks has really been all from one company.
What is that?
And it's the multi-channel network Fullscreen.
I don't know what that is.
It's a YouTube network, basically. So they're creating a YouTube application for the Fire TV for each of their channels.
Okay.
So for example, we have what, like 18 shows? We could create 18 applications, one for each show, and submit it to the Amazon App Store as 18 different applications.
Okay, here's a simple question for you, John. How do you search for apps?
I would do it from a computer, most likely.
That's not... That's weird. They need to create a better search. They need to create a better ecosystem.
I agree. I think you need to be able to search for applications from the Fire TV.
You can. If you know the app that you're looking for, you could actually talk to it.
I just think it's a sloppy way of managing apps, though.
Very sloppy. John, why don't you go...
It's still very much a limited Android interface.
Why don't you go into a story?
So let's talk about the Skype outage that we had this week. This is something that I know both affected us and kind of caused us some issues. I think it was it Tuesday? No, it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Or was it Monday? I don't remember. It was some day this week, but I walked down to my computer and I was like, Skype isn't working.
Yeah, same thing for me. Yeah, it actually, I was talking to Paul about this on Tuesday. It was Monday that it happened because Tuesday I did the show. But I was talking to Paul about this and it was actually fascinating to see how difficult it was to get stuff done. Because remember, we communicate over Skype.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of people over Skype. I do a lot of work over Skype. And I couldn't get in touch with anybody and nobody could get in touch with me. It's almost like we went back to the Stone Age.
No,
even though there's
so
many different platforms
out
there.
It was so annoying because you know what they did? They said they fixed it, which they kind of half-assed fixed it, where, you know, okay, yeah, voice and video messaging now work, but we're still having issues with the status. So you'll technically be online, but you won't be able to see anybody that's online. Which was so annoying because me and you could, you know, by 3 o'clock we could message each other on Skype, but we couldn't see who was on.
Yeah, well, you know what happened with me? I could actually see who was on, and I think what they did on the Mac side, a lot of people that were on Macs, theirs came in first. I know that
so
Skype
weird.
Business was working because it's on different servers. So if you had Skype Business, you were not affected by this at all.
It wasn't until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night before I saw. The online status.
So it was
almost a full day outage.
That's, you know what though? Think about how reliant we are on Skype. I mean, we could have used Facebook Messenger if we had to. We could have used Google Hangouts if we had to. But
if we had to,
it was just like it's like wow.
It's a big inconvenience because you have to. All right, well, how do I contact this person? And how do we set up something else to communicate over? What do we want to choose?
IRC
servers.
There's
other options out there, but it's the arrangement.
Yeah, we got to set up IRC servers, John. Let's go back. Let's
luckily
go.
Luckily, we have one of those.
Yeah, luckily we have an IRC server that we could do. But it was actually, in a weird way, it was like, this is cool. You know, like I'm not being harassed.
I had that feeling of, you know, when you forget your phone and it's not on you, and it's just like, okay, something's not right here. This feeling of disconnected. I have this feeling of disconnected because Skype isn't on. And it's so weird how addicted you can get to this.
Yeah.
Just because it's not necessarily working correctly. Even though we could technically talk to each other by 3 p.m., it still wasn't showing up as online. And we're still like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird.
I'm surprised it took them so long to even figure out how to fix it.
I was shocked that it took them that long to get the problem resolved. Because normally you'll see an outage for a couple hours, but this was almost an entire day for some people. It started around 6 a.m.
Yeah,
and it continued about 12-13 hours, which is a long time for this problem to happen. So John, you know, you asked me an interesting question the other day. We were talking about building a computer, and you know what I was thinking. What percentage of computer users, PC users, are actually going and building their computers?
Only enthusiasts.
Do you think it's more common now, or do you think it's less common now?
I don't think it's changed, because I think the same people that would build a computer are the same people that would do it, you know, today versus, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Obviously, like, you're not going to build a laptop, right? I mean, that's not happening. No, but
most people don't.
But I cannot remember the last time I bought a PC to use. I mean, I have those gateways that I use for Skype machines because it was so cheap to do.
Yeah.
I paid like $325 for it, but I can't think of the last time I went. And you know what? I'll tell you right now. 1999, I got a Compaq Passari. That was the last PC that I bought.
I think I built my first one in like 2005, and I wouldn't do it any other way. But that's just me, you know?
I was just thinking that because I have a friend. He He works for a chip manufacturer. Anyways, we had this discussion the other day about how are people building computers compared to buying computers, and he says that it's still a very small percentage of people that are buying it. I mean, you think about companies like NVIDIA and AMD that make so much money with their video cards, but it's still a fraction of the computer users are actually going and buying video cards and installing and upgrading.
Yeah, I think you'll find a lot of those people in the gamer world that
And he said that even RAM, people aren't upgrading their memory anymore. I mean, it used to be a big deal. I mean, I remember twice a year I was upgrading my memory. You know, when prices dropped. I remember when I went from 8 megs to 16 megs.
Prices don't drop anymore. That's the thing.
Oh, my God. I remember going from 8 megs to 16 megs, and I was so excited. And I think I paid like $200 for the upgrade. Yeah. 8 megs to 16 megs on an IBM Aptiva. And then I went to 32, and I was a max on that. I could have upgraded to 128, and I probably did. I probably upgraded to 128 on that machine.
I got a whole bunch of those sticks in my closet.
You know what was the biggest improvement? The biggest improvement was going from like a gig to like 4 gigs.
Yes.
That was like a tremendous increase. But like now, like you think about it, all these computers are coming with, you know, 8 to 12 or 8 to 16. I don't think most people are going to upgrade.
I think part of
that
is we're at the threshold where now, for the majority of people, even for, you know, most enthusiasts, 8 to 16 is plenty.
Yeah, so I wonder what slowed that down. Like, why did it slow down where, you know, going from 2 to 4 was a big deal, or 4 to 8, 2 to 8 was a big deal, but now going from 8 to 16, it's not that big of a deal. You're not really running out of system memory.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of software utilizing memory much better. Operating systems are utilizing memory much better. You know, the way that Apple handles memory, and I think Windows now, starting in Windows 8, it's utilizing memory differently, where before, if you remember, it only used whatever it needed. And now it uses everything that you have. It'll allocate the memory as much as it possibly can. So it's not just having like dead memory there, just sitting there not being used.
Yeah.
So I think people are not, I think it's just better memory management. But I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was talking to him about this on how, you know, it's not as necessary as before. Like, I used to go and buy sound cards. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like upgrading your sound card.
I wouldn't do that now.
No. It's the onboard is good enough.
Yeah.
Except if you're me, obviously, if you're, you know, you're doing what I'm doing. I don't know. I was just thinking about it. It was just interesting. Just wanted to touch on that for a second. Quick thoughts. Think about it over the weekend. You know, have some tea, sit back and think about, you know, system memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, that was fun. Go to a website, gfknetwork.com. There's a war happening outside. Let me just tell you that right now. It seems like there's like pit bull fighting happening, because all I hear is chains, people yelling, and dogs just like barking. And my dog is now having like a panic attack because of this outside. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter, gfknetwork on Twitter. You can follow me, Andrew Zarin, on Twitter, Suncast on Twitter. I want to thank Braintree for supporting the show. Hey, guys, if you want to help us out, you want to fund us, do so by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us whatever you want. Every bit counts. Also, the holidays are coming up. This is very important for us. I know a lot of you buy stuff on Amazon. Use our Amazon link, guys. Go to gfq.co/Amazon, bookmark it, save it, and whenever you buy something on Amazon, use that link, and we get a tiny little credit from all the purchases. This is a busy time for us. The holidays are here. A lot of you guys are buying stuff, and it really helps us out because we're always doing upgrades here. We're always changing things in the studio. So I want to thank the people that continue to do that. And if you haven't done that, go ahead, do it, and I'll thank you too. All right, guys.
My favorite holiday is coming up.
And Halloween is coming up. Go buy a scary costume on Amazon. All right, guys, that's it for this week. See you later.